and it's found on page 1170 in the church Bibles. 1170, Galatians chapter 3. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wonderful words, and we'll think about them. I'm kind of hoping that's my personal magnetism, but I bet it's just a microphone, isn't it? I'd like to, because it's such a short reading, I'd like to read to you the verses again that we looked at. It said, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Equality is a really important issue in the Bible. And it's an important issue actually in our lives, because it actually affects how God will treat us, how he treats other people who are different to us, and of course, how we will treat each other. So actually, it covers just about everyone. So it's a really important issue. It's a really important thing to think about. In our world, we find that divisions and unfairness come up and come about if one group is given favour over a different group, or if one group is seen as less than a different group. And that's where you get inequalities and unfairnesses, and that can demonstrate itself in lots of ways. And I think, yeah, I'm looking around, you're all grown-ups, you know the kind of ways that inequality can show itself. But there are different areas of inequality, and in fact Paul mentions quite a few there. We can have race, we can have riches and status and wealth, we can have, well, I say status, we can have religion, that there will be inequalities and unfairnesses. There can be gender. Paul talks about male and female. There can be age discrimination, and over the last few years there's been some new laws and rules made up about that. And similarly, disability. There can be inequality on the grounds of whether somebody is able-bodied or not. There are so many ways that we as people can be mean to each other. We're so creative. In fact, all we have to do is find just one area where someone is different to us and we feel justified in holding it against them. And that's the basis for inequality. But fortunately, we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about what the Bible says about equality. And I think we need to start at the very beginning and answer an important question about God. Does God have favourites? Because if he does, then, you know, we need to learn from that, and then actually unequality or inequality is quite justified, because if God's got favourites, then, you know, we would be justified in doing the same thing. The thing is, the Bible answers it very, very clearly, and the answer is a categorical no. God does not have favourites. In Romans chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, that God shows no partiality. God has no favourites. In other translations it says, God is no respecter of persons. Now that sort of sounds slightly odd. What you mean, he doesn't respect anyone? In these days of a respect agenda, surely that's not right. No, what that is, the word is literally, there's no respect of faces with God. Isn't that an interesting thing? Literally it says there's no respect of faces with God. Partiality. Partiality is a problem because it's judging someone based on their outward appearance or outward characteristics and not actually looking at their intrinsic value and merits. So it's saying, you don't dress the same, your skin's different, you know, you're a woman and not a man, or you're a man and not a woman, or your clothes are dirty, or you're wearing a three-piece suit, or you went to Eton, or you went to wherever. And even interestingly, in our enlightened age, during the election campaign, did you see, I mean, did you, was it just me that got fed up with this class thing being dragged up again? Oh, you know, he's a toff and he's not and this and that. And it's like, really, grow up. You know, it's that kind of thing that has got nothing to do with the intrinsic value of a person. You know, if you're looking for someone to rule the country, you want someone that can rule the country. It doesn't really matter where they went to school, does it? And America have shown us that it doesn't really matter the colour of your skin, does it? What you need is the right person for the job, rather than someone whose face fits. And so the Bible says that God does not show favouritism, he is no respecter of faces. I think that's quite reassuring. God doesn't have favourites. That's actually reassuring, because each of us in our heart of hearts would think, well, if he does, I'm not going to be one of them. Because that's how we are. None of us would go, God has favourites, and check me out. Because you know at that point, you know, pride comes before a fall, doesn't it? But God actually has no favourites. He does not show favouritism. That's actually reassuring, but it still doesn't answer the next question, are all people equal? We now know that God doesn't show favourites. That's good. That's a stone in the foundation. But the next question we need to ask is, are all people equal? Does the Bible say all people are equal, or just that people are unequal, but God loves them all because he's nice? You know, we need to answer that. That's another important question. And the Bible actually answers it again, I'm pleased to say, very clearly. And what I'd like to do is show you something that I've mentioned to some of you before when we had some summer house groups, and we talked about how to maybe look at some ethical issues and things that are problems for us in our or issues for us in our lives today, a way of looking at the Bible and starting to get more out of it, rather than just looking for a verse that says, you know, such and such. Oh, phew. Okay. So what I want to do is show you this. And some of you, like I say, it will be familiar. Creation, fall, redemption. Obviously, that's, if you like, the story of the Bible. There's a creation. Then mankind sins, is selfish and a bit stupid. And there's the fall. And then Jesus comes, and on the cross, he deals with the sin and sinfulness of mankind. And we can be redeemed and live as new people. So we see in creation what God's original plan was for humanity and for the world, how it became distorted through sinfulness, and then how in Christ it can be transformed for those of us who believe in him. Okay, so that's creation for redemption. Are you all with me so far? I hope so, because otherwise you're going to get lost really quickly. So creation, what does the Bible say about humanity and equality in creation? The Bible says that God made man and woman in his image. All people are made in his image. You see that in Genesis chapter 1, it says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And then it says, let them rule. Let them fill the earth, subdue it, tend it and keep it, look after it. That would have been a good idea. You know, let's do that. And so, The interesting thing is before he even gives them a job to do, it says he blessed them and then said, go forth and multiply. Okay, and that's really important. So mankind is created in God's image. All are of the same value, intrinsic, inside value, because we are all made in God's image. Whether that is the junkie in the back street or the president on the platform outside the White House, all are made in God's image. What we do find is that this human dignity that we all have, we might not show it, because we'll come on to the fall in a moment, but this human dignity is shown in three relationships. Firstly, our relationship with God. We have been created, figure this out, we have been created with the capacity and the desire to know God. Not just anyone, but God. He wants us to know Him. That's a pretty high calling, don't you think? That's not just the role or task for any old rubbish. That's real dignity. We've been invited to know God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We call that worship. Secondly, part of our dignity is our relationship with each other, that we can know one another and be known. We can support and love and care for one another, do good for one another. We can help bear each other's burdens. And that's called fellowship. We have worship, we have fellowship, and then last of all, our relationship with the earth. God actually said, look, I'm giving you all of these herbs, all of these plants. I want you to go and fill this earth. Look after it. Subdue it. Tend it. Keep it. And that's stewardship. We have worship, we have fellowship, we have stewardship. And over the next few weeks and months, we're actually going to be thinking about each of those. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail now. But they are, I mean, they give you some idea of the grand purpose that God has for humanity. That we might know Him, that we might care for one another and know one another and care for and look after His world. That's amazing. And that's what God's plan for us is. But then we have the fall. So all are equal and all have a huge dignity and value because we're all made in the image and likeness of God. Unfortunately, we're all also equal in need, because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are made in God's image, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And unfortunately, the Bible also says that the wages of sin, and we've all sinned, is death. Oh dear, that's a problem that we all share. So there's actually no room for us to look down our noses at anybody else. We can't go, sinner, because we are too. And we're just adding pride to it, aren't we? And hypocrisy. So we're all in the same boat. We all have the same need. And I think when we understand that, we're more kind and compassionate to one another. Because sometimes people do kind of fall, you know, go off the rails. Sometimes people go off, in the words of the prodigal son, into a very far country before they come home. But God loves every single one. So all are made in the image of God. All have sinned. And then in redemption, we find that God wants all to be saved. And the Bible is very, very clear about that. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He said, go and make disciples of all nations and all peoples. In Romans 16, it says that the gospel has been sent out so that all nations might believe and obey him. And then in 1 Timothy 2 verse 6, talking about Jesus, it says that he gave himself as a ransom for all. For all. Okay? That's all. That's what that means. Everyone. No one's excluded. He gave himself as a ransom for all. And 2 Peter 3:9 says that God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants all to be saved. So there's creation, fall, and redemption. You can see there's lots of alls in there. We're all equal. We're all given the same dignity and value because we're all made in the image of God. We have all sinned and all share a need. So we're all pretty much stuck until we see that God wants all to be saved. And Jesus has come and been, as it says in 1 John 2 verse 2, the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So you can see that our equal value comes from being made in the image of God with the purpose of knowing him, and that we stand on this level ground. All those differences that we mentioned earlier of race, age, status, gender, they're all irrelevant because all have sinned. It's not about what colour your skin is or whether you're a man or a woman. It's about, have you sinned? And do you know your value? And do you know God's love and forgiveness? Because they're the things that are most important. That's his loving invitation to us all. But it doesn't stop there. And this is kind of why I wanted to read from Galatians 3. It doesn't stop there, because it does say this, and it's brilliant. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, that's race, slave nor free, that's status and wealth, isn't it? Male nor female, that's gender. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And it's that last phrase that I want to pick up on. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Because just in case that didn't mention disability, say, and you thought, well, I've got a real thing about that, and it really bugs me. Well, let's go on, and we can see something, hopefully, that will convince you about what the Bible says about equality, that we are all equal. We're equal in value, we're equal in need, we're equal in being loved by God. And it's this. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Why is this important? Well, because in the Old Testament, part of the Bible, the Jews were the people of God. It was very clear. I chose you. I called you out to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood. They thought they were favourites, but no, they were just chosen for a job, and they muddled the two up. And sometimes as Christians, we do the same. And we need to make sure that we don't do that. And you'll see why. They thought that they were the insiders. They thought they were the insiders, that they were the chosen people, and that really, I suppose, therefore, if you were born in the wrong family, you were an outsider. Because as soon as you get insiders, automatically you're creating outsiders, aren't you? And that's kind of what the Bible has a problem with, because the Bible is very inclusive. God is calling and inviting, come to me. If you can hear me, come. And that's why he wants us to share the gospel. And we'll think more about that next week on Pentecost. But God loved you when you were still the wrong side of the tracks. When you were wrong and your face didn't fit, God said, actually, I'm not interested in their face. I'm interested in their heart, because they matter to me. I love them. But you have the Jews, who in the Old Testament were the insiders, and you have the rest, the Gentiles or the Goyim, who were the outsiders. They were excluded from aspects of worship, even though God still loved them. But Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writes this, Ephesians 2 verses 11 to 18. And he's talking about this very thing, about insiders and outsiders. And it has a lot to say about equality and also what it means to be one in Christ. It says this, therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. You know, you can hear insiders and outsiders. You were the outsiders and you were called that by the insiders. And that was done in the body by the hands of men, that circumcision. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. That's a clear case of insiders and outsiders, isn't it? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed that barrier, that dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. Isn't that interesting? Thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to you who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Hopefully you could see all the them and, you know, and us, and the far and near, and the two becoming one, and then being reconciled to God and being made one body. Why is that important? Well, in Ephesians, Paul's talking about this dividing wall, this separation between Jew and Gentile, but he says this was torn down so that one new man could live before God without hostility. And here in Galatians, our first passage, he tells us that the dividing walls of race, of religion, of class, of gender, all of those things are broken down so that there are no outsiders. There are no outsiders. That thing that would have kept you away has been dealt with. And he says, you who were afar off, he's preached to, and you who are near, the gospel is still for the Jews. And it's important that we don't forget that. So, God's grace, and this is equality, God's grace is firstly for all who will accept it. All who will accept it. Because all are equal. They're equal in value, in need, and in being loved. And therefore, all are welcome here. And all are welcome here at this table. There is an equality and an openness that religion isn't very good at. Because we like to feel like we're the insiders. And as soon as we do that, we make other people outsiders. But in fact, what God wants to do is, you know, he wants us to be insiders inside his love and inside his family. And he wants us, if you like, to have a soft boundary so that we're constantly reaching out and bringing others in and expanding the love and the kingdom of God. Because there's an equality and an openness that is beyond our comprehension. We can't comprehend what it means that God would love the world so much, that he would love every person so much. And yet he does. And yet he does. He wants all to be saved. And God's grace is therefore for all who will accept it. We need to accept it. And this morning, if you haven't, then you can. Because all are equal and all are welcome here. That's why it's so important that God not only treats us equally, but he also makes us one. So that we can value and respect each other and everyone else equally. And thus demonstrate his saving love for us all. I think that's a wonderful thing. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing number